Good afternoon. I'm Gary Pachoon with the American Dental Association, and I'm the moderator for this session. And my co-moderator is Soini Dar. She's at the back of the room. And if you need continuing dental education, she has pink forms that need to be completed and returned by the end of the session. So you can get those from her. For this session, we have three speakers. I'll briefly introduce each of them, and then they'll do their presentations in the same order as they appeared in the program. The first presenter will be Jennifer Messenger Heilbronner, and she leads the public health practice at Metropolitan Group, a social change communication firm. She works with public agencies, nonprofits, and foundations to achieve behavior change, systems change, and policy change for dental health, tobacco prevention, chronic disease prevention, and other issues. The second presenter will be Ramneet Kalra, and currently she serves as the Director of Oral Health Initiatives with the New York City Department of Health and Mental Hygiene, and she has held various professional positions, including consultant in the Bureau of Corrections, consultant at a dental HMO, and a chairside dental assistant. She seeks to perform dental public health initiatives internationally and end her education career with a doctorate in public health. And finally, we have Dr. Charla Lauter, and she is professor and director of the School of Allied Health at Southern Illinois University at Carbondale. So help me welcome our first speaker, Jennifer Heilbronner.
Thank you. So Metropolitan Group is a social change communication firm, and we work with organizations across the country on social marketing and public will building to change behaviors and systems and policies. And I'm based in our Portland, Oregon office. I'm talking today about some work that we've been doing in Denver with the Delta Dental of Colorado Foundation. So they're the foundation, the community benefit arm of Delta Dental, the insurance provider. And their goal is to eradicate cavities in really young kids. They focus on kids between the ages of 0 and 3. And we conducted this research in partnership with another firm called Customer Innovations, which does consumer behavior research for large corporations, banks, utilities, even Coca-Cola. And Delta brought our two firms together to really help them understand how to better move behaviors and attitudes and norms around care in families of really young children. So I'm going to talk today about the research that we've been doing. We're in an interesting phase where we're just transitioning from the findings to the design of the campaign. And so I'll share with you what we've learned and a little bit about where we're going. And I have some background on the research and other materials. If you're interested, please come up afterward. So I have no relationships to disclose. So the foundation had been working a lot through its grant making and through a public education campaign to address some of the issues around early childhood caries. So, for example, they have a program that was placing dental hygienists in pediatrician offices to see if that would make a difference in terms of access to care. They were running a social marketing campaign that tried to talk to parents about avoiding transmission of bacteria from caregiver to child. But what they were seeing was that they weren't moving the needle as much as they wanted to on outcomes, on reduction of caries in young kids. So they brought us in to really think about what do we need to know to approach this differently and engage our audience in a different way. And they were interested in a communication and social change process that we use that we call public will building. And it's really an approach to creating long-term shifts in social norms and ultimately in policies and systems and behaviors. And what it does is it really has at its core a connection to the closely held values of the audience. So one thing the foundation was realizing was they didn't really know what those closely held values were. They knew what they were trying to tell the audience over and over and over again, but they didn't really understand why that wasn't connecting. And so we came in to try to really understand those values that are driving parents to do what they do with their kids and their kids' teeth, so we could sort of back that up into how do we connect with them on a different level. Public will building also pays really deep attention to cultural context. And by this, I don't just mean, are we translating materials into the right language and do we have the right people in the materials? This is really about getting inside the lifestyle and the mindset of the people who we're trying to reach and the communities we're trying to engage. And that means stepping into those communities to deeply engage the audience. So the research I'm talking about really tries hard to be very grounded in the community and as participatory as possible, where we're not just going in and doing focus groups and getting some data, but we're really engaging the audience in designing a campaign that will work. Makes it much more authentic. And then in the application of public will building, we know that we've got to use mass media, but sometimes where social marketing or health communications fall flat is that it relies too much on making a lot of noise in the media and trying to get out there, and not enough at really being at the grassroots level, which is where something really takes hold. All too often we see in social marketing campaigns, the campaign goes really well, and while the ads are on TV, everybody's calling the tobacco quit line or doing whatever they're supposed to be doing, and as soon as the funding runs out and the ads stop, everybody goes back to doing whatever they were doing before. So what we're trying to do is get around that by really ingraining the issue in the community by connecting it with closely held values so the community actually takes hold of that issue. And doing that requires that we really know our audience well. So our strategies in this work are to motivate and support families to care for children's teeth. That's where this work started, was trying to understand better how to get to that. But as we worked on this more and more, we really started to become acutely aware that we wouldn't move the needle on children's dental health just by talking to families and changing their behaviors, because too many parents, especially, and some kids lack access to dental care. And we don't have fluoridation everywhere, and Medicaid moms aren't covered to get dental health cleanings during pregnancy, and you know all the problems that go with this. And so without responsibility for children's oral health at the policymaker and the community-wide level, we can do behavior change all day long and nothing will happen. And so this public will-building campaign that we're researching and designing really works at both of those levels. So let me tell you a little bit about our methodology, and then I'll share some of our learning. So our research really started on the audience insights side, and particularly on the family audience insights side. And we started with secondary source research. We looked at a lot of different studies, not so much on the epidemiology, but more on family care patterns, how parents were taking care of their kids' teeth, and how they understood dental health as a priority. And a couple really great ones that we looked at is there's a framework study on how to talk about oral health, both with families and at the policymaker level. And then there's a great Robert Wood Johnson paper on talking about the social determinants of health, which became pretty elemental in our work. So those were kind of our baselines, and then we brought in some other secondary source research too. We started on the family side with some expert interviews with organizations that serve families in our target population. So we were looking primarily at the 20% of families whose kids have 80% of the caries. And in our Denver market, that was more lower income families, and a lot of those families were Hispanic and Latino. Excuse me. We went into safety net clinics to watch those families in the office, in the dentist chair, talk to them a little bit about their experience. And then we wanted to get out of the system of care and talk to families who weren't already connected. And so working through the community and community-based organizations, we recruited about 50 parents who would participate in in-clinic or in-home interviews. And the reason we wanted to do that more ethnographic level of research rather than focus groups was so we could really have a deep and authentic conversation with families about what they cared about, what they knew, what they believed in, and where we could change their behaviors. So coming out of that research, we developed some preliminary messages and concepts for how we might talk about this work, and then we took those back out into the field and engaged parents and pregnant women in some audience labs to say, here's kind of our rough start at messages and concepts. What do you guys think? Help us make these better so that they'll really resonate with families. And then we also did similar audience labs with civically engaged individuals. We knew that ultimately on that bigger change side, we needed to get to policymakers and funders. And so they're really our key audience. We did interviews with them. But the foundation kept saying, well, we want the whole general public to prioritize oral health. And we kept saying, but you don't have enough money to have the whole general public prioritize oral health, right? So if we know eventually we need to get to policymakers and funders, the best pathway to that is to start with people who are already civically engaged. And so we did some focus groups with civically engaged individuals, folks who self-identified as being part of community organizations, volunteering, having health as a priority. And we talked with them about their perception of dental health and what they could do to support it as citizens. So findings. So with our families, it's interesting, one of the board's questions, the foundation board's questions going into this was, you know, how are parents not taking better care of their kids' teeth? Do they just not care? Well, so the first thing we wanted to do is explore that. And so really in our research, we listened to how parents talked about what they do for their kids and how they feel about parenting and what's rewarding and what's hard about parenting. And that was helping us get to what are some of those core values. And it was also helping us understand where are parents really struggling and where could they use a lift. And it was pretty evident across all the families we talked to that it's not a question of loving their kids. They love them like crazy. I mean, they're the center of their universe. They just don't always know how to deal with all of the challenges. So we started here with the board. It was actually a pretty important finding for the board. So we asked about what are your dreams for your child? When you picture your child's future, what do you want? And perhaps not surprisingly, we heard a lot of families talk about wanting something better for their kids than they have, right? They want them to have a job and it's a stable family and good values and connections to their relatives. But really at the heart of all of that, you can see from this Wordle, is they want them to go to school. They want them to graduate and go to college and have an education because they see that as the ticket to a better life. So we started there. Again, that's our connection to values. What's driving these parents' decisions about what they do with their kids? They want them to succeed. They want them to go to school and graduate. So then we said, well, okay, what about your kids' teeth? Do those have anything to do with what you've just told me about where you want them to go? And they said, well, yeah, because, you know, you never see somebody on the front page of the newspaper missing teeth. You know, you don't ever see a politician on TV who doesn't have teeth. You never see a doctor or a successful person who doesn't have teeth. Of course it's interesting and important. So they really connected it to all these things they want for their kids. Again, we're starting to try to connect values to what we want as the outcome, and we're creating a pathway. But the problem is there's a ton of competition, right? When we think about, okay, parents prioritize education, they know that healthy teeth and healthy dental health connect with that. Why aren't they doing it? Well, okay, look at this long list, right? So we're talking to families who are struggling to get by. They have a lot of other things going on. Just those challenges of daily living can be hard. We also heard a lot about inconsistent care, right? So I, as the mom, have my kids brush their teeth and all the other things I'm supposed to do, but dad, grandma, childcare, disaster. So this inconsistency of care was something that we heard was a big problem. The lack of knowledge piece speaks to, we heard a lot of, well, I don't give my kids candy and I don't give them soda, or they only have soda once a week or something, but Gatorade is so good for them. We give them Gatorade to rehydrate them. Or, you know, there was one dad I talked to and his little baby was crawling around with this broad bottle of purple stuff. And I said, well, what is Ernie drinking in that bottle? And he goes, oh, it's Kool-Aid. It comes in these really handy packs. They're just the right size for a bottle. You just put it in and add water and shake it up, and he loves it. And I said, did you know that that has as much sugar as soda? Because he had just told me his kids don't drink soda. No idea. It's Kool-Aid, right? So lack of knowledge about what's healthy and what's not and what to do. Junk food tastes really good for all of us. That's the problem. The desire for intimacy with kids was an interesting one. So the foundation's campaign before we worked with them had focused on this transmission of germs from caregiver to child, right? People had no idea what that meant or why that would be important. They felt like actually germs were good because they built immunity, and so they didn't want to remove germs from their child's life. And also they felt like asking them to not kiss their child on the mouth or share a spoon or lick the pacifier and all that stuff, that felt like we were asking them to remove some intimacy with their child that they weren't willing to do. And so we started to realize that that message wasn't working, and maybe what needed to happen instead was to help parents get their mouths healthier so that the chance of disease, of bacteria transmission, was lower. So that was an important finding in what our ask would eventually be. Okay, so one thing we wanted to look at, too, is the difference between immigrant and non-immigrant family, more acculturated Latino families, because we wondered if there would really need to be two different campaigns. And we started actually looking more at the Hispanic, non-Hispanic split, and what we found was the difference between Hispanic and non-Hispanic acculturated families at the lower income levels we were looking at was pretty consistent. Values, behaviors, knowledge, all pretty consistent. It was where we got into more recent immigrants that things got different. And here we had patterns of, you know, folks especially who had grown up in Mexico and come to Colorado really recently may not have grown up brushing, may have relied on home remedies, and really didn't go to the dentist. But what we saw was interesting when they were finding their way around the U.S. system, if they got their kids into CHIP And one of the big problems was dual eligible kids, right? So in some families, some kids were eligible for care. And those families were so grateful for that care, and they were really, really, really responsible about getting their kids to the dentist and then having good oral health. The problem was, two or three more of their kids weren't eligible, and so they had this divide. So there's a lot of work yet to be done around immigrant families, and that's probably something that we'll do in a later phase of the campaign. But that distinction was far greater than among Hispanic and non-Hispanic families in general. So one of our assumptions was that disease would perpetuate through the culture, right? So if parents have bad teeth, kids are going to have bad teeth. It's going to keep going. But the cool thing we found is that prevention also does. So this chart shows what we started calling the genealogy of care. And you'll see over on the far left, those yellow bubbles, the first question we had was, did your parents take care of your teeth when you were a kid? We asked this to the parent. And so about 50% said yes, that's the top bubble, and 50% said no. Well, then we said, okay, do you take care of your own teeth now? And of the 50% of parents who had their parents taking care of their teeth when they were little, 91% of them were taking care of their own teeth now, and 100% of them were taking care of their kids' teeth now. But if you go the other way, the parents who said, no, my parents didn't take care of my kids' teeth when I was little, that was about half the parents we talked to, about 69% of them had a pivotal moment where something happened and they decided that was not how it was going to be for their kids, either because they knew the pain that they had suffered or they got connected to a system of care. Something happened that made them turn. But still, it's only 69% if you didn't grow up with your parents taking care of your own teeth. And of those parents who made that pivotal switch and started taking care of their kids' teeth, 100% of them started taking care of their own teeth, 100% of them now take care of their kids' teeth. So we started to see that this really has to be something that we're building over generations. And if we can get current generations to adopt better oral health, it's something that we can reliably expect to continue. The other thing it told us is that we have to find and seize that pivotal moment where parents make a conscious decision to change the way they're taking care of their own teeth. Sometimes that happens during adolescence when we start becoming more aware of our appearance and other people around us. And so that may be a pivotal moment. And for some people, it happens later when they start to realize the cost of dental health and start to change their own behaviors. We also started to look at existing knowledge and practice to figure out, well, if asking people to not share bacteria is too big of a lift, and asking them to do 15 things, get your kid to the dentist, brush twice a day, drink fluoridated water, it's too much. What's the simplest ask we can make that will resonate with people that feels doable? And so this is a little worksheet that a dental health program in Colorado uses to talk to families about oral health behaviors. And we took our families through this and asked them, what do you know about this behavior? Describe to me what this means and why it's important and how you do that. And then tell me if you're doing it right now. And so the where you see the green, that's the top one is that they know what it is and how to do it. And the bottom one is that they're doing it. And then where you see the red, it means the top one, they didn't know how to describe what that meant, and they didn't really know how to do it. So the germs one we've talked about, nobody had any idea what we were talking about. And then only water in a sippy cup was one that people didn't know about. They thought, you know, a sippy cup has a hard nozzle, and so that's okay. Like, I know I'm not supposed to put soda in a bottle, but a sippy cup, totally fine. So those were two behaviors that we started to zero in on. The brushing with fluoride toothpaste, most people could describe that and said that they did it. And one of the reasons we wanted to be in their homes was to observe whether they had toothbrushes and toothpaste in the bathroom. And most of them did. But we also knew that there was inconsistency in those brushing behaviors. One cool thing is a lot of the families we interviewed would say to their kid, go get your new toothbrush and show the nice lady how much you love to brush their teeth. So we were like covered with toothpaste by the end of our interviews. But it was nice to see that. So once we did this research, we started to group families, thinking about how do we segment these audiences when we want to start reaching out to them. And we knew we could do it by age or geography or demographics or number of kids or whatever, but we really wanted to do it based on where they were in stages of change and how we might motivate them. So the distinguishing factors that we zeroed in on was, what was their knowledge about oral health, either innate, I don't know why I brush my teeth, I just grew up doing it, I always do it, I wouldn't question it, or learned. And then we wanted to know, what was their goal-directedness? So how determined and motivated were they to get information about their kids and how to take care of their kids? And how motivated and determined were they to take care of their kids' teeth no matter what? No matter how tired they were at the end of the day, no matter how much it cost, they were taking care of their kids' teeth. So we charted them, we plotted them on those two axes. And so you'll see the up and down is knowledge, with higher knowledge being at the top and low being at the bottom. And side to side is goal directedness with higher knowledge, higher goal directedness being at the left and lower being at the right. And this is how our families plotted. And so we started to categorize these different quadrants that were coming out of these behaviors, and this is how we're grouping our audiences. So our role models are those who are doing what they're supposed to be doing. They're pretty motivated, and they know what they're supposed to do. And so we know if we can activate them in their communities, they can start to set the standard for changing patterns of oral health. Down in the lower left-hand corner, we have our aspirationals who really are trying hard but don't have all the information and tools they need. And so we know if we can get that to them and give them the support, we can move them more in that role model direction. That's where our campaign will focus initially, because those are the people who at least have this on their radar. The folks on the other side, the strugglers and the passives, the strugglers know what they're supposed to be doing. They're just so struggling that it's hard to make it a priority. And the passives have pretty much given up. I mean, we had a dad tell us he hadn't brushed his teeth in probably 20 years and didn't know if his kids brushed his teeth. And I mean, they've just given up. And so reaching them with a social marketing campaign is going to be pretty tough. But this is how we're starting to segment our audiences. Implications for this work. As we start to reach families, we know that they're doing the best they can and they need some help and hope. So they don't need to be told over and over and over again that their kids are at higher risk for cavities and that's going to destroy their lives. They need to know that we're going to help them, and here are some things that will help. We know they value education above all and family relationships. And so if we can connect dental care to their children's educational success, and if we can connect the behaviors of dental care to moments when you can build a closer family relationship and connection. So if toothbrushing time at night cannot be a horrendous battle and struggle when I'm exhausted and my kids are disobeying me, if it can be fun bonding time, which is what I want and value with my children, then I'm going to have better success. So if we can give them some tools in that direction, that will be really helpful. We know that our challenges are all those competition points that I've talked about, and so in the campaign, we've got to figure out how to counter those. And we also know there's a certain acceptance to tooth pain. Everybody gets cavities. Everybody has a toothache. So teaching people that it's preventive, that was a really critical message. People didn't really know that, and when we talked to them about it, they were willing to believe it. And so raising awareness that you don't have to have tooth pain and cavities is important in this work. And then we want to focus on that genealogy of care and really creating a new tradition. So if your mom and dad and uncle and auntie and grandma and everybody has terrible teeth, it doesn't have to be like that forever. It doesn't mean you have to, and it doesn't mean your kids have to. And that was a really important message for people. And our clear call to action for families, we're getting away from that bacteria message, and we want a really simple message. So don't put sugary drinks in your kid's bottle or sippy cup, and brush your own teeth and your kid's teeth. Brush your own teeth helps us with that bacteria transmission message in a much more friendly and not scientific way. And don't put sugary drinks in the bottle. Now, we had a lot of discussion with the client team on this one about, well, shouldn't we say drink fluoridated water? And it's too complicated. We just want sugar out of the thing, and then we'll figure out what goes in there instead. In terms of what we do, we also are doing this. This is why we spent so much time trying to figure out how to segment our audiences. So we know over on the left side, we've got a decent level of knowledge and a high level of goal directedness that reinforcing and educating and activating people around these behaviors will make a huge difference. As we get over to the right side and we have lower goal directedness, this is where policy change is really going to become important. Our systems and our environments have to change. So this is where we look at stuff like fluoridated water and soda tax and things that are really at the policy and system level going to push our families into change more than a motivational campaign will. When we get to our influencers, right, so I just said we have to have policy change, so we got to have our influencers and the public behind us. We know from our research that they also value educational outcomes. They really value Colorado as a place. There's a big sense of place there. And they value health and well-being of the community. They see dental health as part of overall health, and they say that is absolutely not reinforced by any system, right? Dental and medical insurance are split. My doctor, when I do that whole health questionnaire, never asks me about the health of my teeth. They're completely disconnected, even though I know they go together. And so cementing that connection will be important to shifting policy around dental health. There's a lot of individual frames. So a lot of what people think we need to do is go into the schools and teach kids how to brush and have toothbrush pass out programs in the community. And it's all about teaching parents to take better care of their teeth. Where we haven't gotten and where we need to get is for the community to see this as an issue that the community owns. So we understand that we need to fund programs and pass policies that support oral health, not just hand out more toothbrushes. And that will be the challenge of this campaign. They are excited about the idea of creating a new tradition, which is where there's a nice overlap between the family work that we'll be doing and the policymaker and community work. And so that will probably be one of the themes we use going ahead. Again, with these guys, really clear call to action. All we want them to do right now is learn about dental health and learn about the poor state of dental health among kids in Colorado and what the impact of that is, and then have them start to prioritize it as individuals and organizations as a strategy for getting to educational success and also controlling healthcare costs, which are key values in that group. So here's where we are now. We're starting to frame the campaign and the creative, and we're looking at earned media, articles in the media, advertisements, community engagement. We've developed a Promotoris peer health educator program because we know we've really got to get at the community level. And then we're building partnerships with a lot of community-based organizations. We have a call tomorrow, actually, with the Denver Children's Museum to talk about doing a permanent and traveling exhibit on dental health, which will both educate families and raise awareness of the issue among community leaders and funders. So these are some of the frames that the campaign will be built around: the fact that it's a preventable issue, that it impacts everybody as part of overall health, that strong link to education and future opportunity for both families and the community at large, and then this importance of an opportunity, really, to start early and create new traditions. It doesn't have to be like this forever, and here's all of our role in moving forward and creating change. So we're going into planning now. This campaign launches probably in the spring of next year, and we'll be evaluating it and happy to share results as we go forward. Thanks.